Welcome. This is Inside Flicks. I'm Mike. I'm here with my brothers Richard and Raymond. We normally talk about movies, but this episode is going to be a little bit different. This episode is all television. First, we're going to take a look at Mythic Quest: Raven's Banquet. This is an Apple TV original comedy series. We, in fact, reviewed this show a couple of months ago. All of us pretty much liked it. We had good things to say about it. This time, however, we're going to take a look at the recent quarantine episode of Mythic Quest: Raven's Banquet. This was released about a week and a half ago. We're going to give our thoughts. Did we like it? Did we not like it? Also on this episode, we're going to take a look at two other streaming series, the new Amazon Prime comedy series Upload and the new Hulu animated sci-fi comedy Solar Opposites. Okay, so let's begin with Mythic Quest: Raven's Banquet, the quarantine special.
Please be wearing a shirt. Please be wearing a shirt.
Oh, hey, Dave.
What are you doing in a hot tub?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I'm in a hot tub.
Obviously, the quarantine has been tough on everyone.
I don't know what I pressed, but I'm here.
You look awful.
You lose!
You're a cashed-up bogan.
Poppy is being mean in Australian. Is the meeting almost over?
The meeting hasn't even started.
Okay, so this is Mythic Quest: Raven's Banquet. This was a episode that was entirely done during the quarantine. The creator, Rich, who's the creator and star of this series?
Rob McElhenney. He plays Ian, and he's from FX. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
And Ian is the game developer of this very popular video game called Mythic Quest: Raven's Banquet. And it's basically a workplace comedy. This episode was quite inventive that it was all kind of done through webcam. And Rich, how would you describe this episode?
Well, the Silicon Valley meets that great show on AMC, the
Halt and Catch Fire.
Yeah, Halt and Catch Fire. So, sort of like those two, because they were building a video game back then.
It's very satirical. It's a satirical look at the video game world. Mm-hmm. And but the episode, this episode, how would you describe it, Bitch?
Well, it's quarantine, and it's one of those FaceTime calls. Oh, not FaceTime, but the
Zoom
calls.
Yeah,
yeah, and all the characters that are on the show were basically on doing a Zoom cast and
apparently they were writing season two, and the creator Rob he had this idea of like, let's do an episode, everyone's not working right now. They were kind of
saw the Zoom craze that was happening during quarantine, and they decided to write a script about it, and that's basically what it is.
And it took 3 weeks to make it. It was filmed on iPhones, and
this is Apple Plus, so they got the access to all new iPhones and all the new Apple technology. So they each got new iPhones, and they shot their reactions directly in their house.
Yeah, everyone, all the actors in their own house, and each actor had to set up their own cameras and sound and do their own wardrobes. And Raymond, what's your thoughts of this quarantine episode of Mythic Quest?
I really enjoyed it. And I thought it was kind of interesting because, you know, there have been a couple shows, comedies on TV that have kind of been doing the kind of quarantine edition. Mm-hmm. You know, Saturday Night Live has been doing it for a couple episodes.
Yeah.
And Parks and Recreation did a reunion episode recently for charity.
Josh Gad has been doing a lot of these reunion shows, too, on Zoom.
Yeah. Yeah. And
but the Office one was scripted, right?
Yeah, the Parks and Recreation one was actually written. And one of my issues I had with that Parks and Rec episode was actually that it was nice for I was a fan of that show, and it was kind of nice to see all the characters again, and everybody, you know, they brought everyone back, and everyone was in character, and everyone was written in a way that felt like their characters, but they would all kind of like break to like promote the charity, and I don't know, it made it feel like not a real episode. It made it feel almost like one of those I don't know what they're called, but you know how they have those kind of like stand up for cancer or like autism type of things, and they have like comedians. It made it feel like that, and that it was a little frustrating. I was a little worried that this would be like that as well, but they actually, it felt like a real episode. I mean, this feels like true, like canon in the series. I mean, this is a great season finale. and might be even better than the season finale they already had, which was fantastic. And they really pulled it off, I think, better than anybody that's been, you know, trying to, you know, do this. And I think that's why this episode took a little longer than everybody else's, because they really perfected it.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I think this was, you know, I love the fact that they just didn't focus on the Zoom aspect of it. Most of the jokes about the quarantine, like you said, those SNL skits, are about how people are forced to communicate through Zoom or through Skype or whatever, and then there's nothing to that. They actually go a little bit deeper in this episode, and this episode, I gotta say, this is probably the best bit about the quarantine. Like, they cover all the facets of the quarantine, especially how some people are losing their grip on mentally, you know, during this time, and they do that. They do it in a thoughtful way. It's not a joke. It's very heartfelt, and I found this episode to be very funny. And you know, we reviewed this series about 2 months ago, and I think I gave it a C+, and I think both of you gave it a B+. You guys liked it more than I did. But this episode gave me a real reason to think that season 2 is going to be better than season 1, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And like I said in my review, all the characters in this series are fantastic, and you could show that there's a relationship with the characters in here with this episode, and it really communicates through even with these boxes, like these Zoom boxes and webcams.
Yeah, they were actually filming season 2 when the quarantine happened. So I mean, they just kind of wanted to get back to work and wanted to hang out again. So yeah, they came up with this thing.
Yeah, Rich, what's
awesome?
Rich, what's your thoughts on the quarantine episode of Mythic Quest?
I thought it was very, very well done. I mean, sure, it's a quarantine skit, basically. Mm-hmm. But the show itself was very good, and unlike those other shows like The Office one, I guess, that was probably more like a radio recreation of a show, and this one was definitely just made for television feel to it. Mm-hmm. And unlike those other shows, like you know, those old television series where they do a special when they go to, like, yeah, I don't know, Hawaii, you know, how they
like Brady Bunch.
Yeah, like you know how they feel like off, you know, when they go to write those kind of specials.
Yeah,
the writing's not exactly there yes, from a regular show. Well, that's exactly how I feel with those kind of quarantine specials or whatever, The Office, like the kind of stuff. But this one felt original. This one felt, you know,
yeah, very, like, you know, they took their time to really think it through. Yeah, and also, you know, the episode was also done for charity. This made $600,000 for I don't know which one, but
well, the creators and cast donated the money themselves,
right? Yeah. And it took 3 weeks to make, so it was pretty much they were working through a lot of difficulties, because they had to ship iPhones to each actor. They each actor would have to download a couple apps. One for film to get that film look, one for the mic.
Mm-hmm. And it was a big challenge for F. Murray Abraham.
Yeah, yeah, sure. There was an interview where the creators were saying that, like in the episode, he was having technical difficulties figuring out all this webcam stuff and how to shoot himself with an iPhone. So it's great. And also, you know, there's a whole Rube Goldberg machine idea in the film where everyone has to work together to do this kind of toilet paper idea.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, again, that was a great. These are great funny bits,
and they had a little bit of drama with the Poppy and Ian.
Yeah, there was a kind of emotional connection they had, and yeah, so yeah, there's a lot, you know, it's not just comedy. There's a lot of heartfelt stuff here, and I think it really covers a lot of the anxieties that people were going through, or our people are going through the quarantine. I really, really, really respect this series, this episode, and I really, really found this to be very funny. And like I said, I think season 2 is going to be great. Now, did you want to see another quarantine episode, or you think this was perfect? One is enough.
I'm open for another.
I wouldn't mind, yeah. I mean, if it could think of something else.
Honestly, if it's half as good as this, that'd still be pretty good.
And it really depends on how long this thing's going to last, too.
In an interview with the creators, they said that they would like to do more quarantine episodes. Although it took a while for each actor to figure it out, they now know what they're doing, and they could easily write another episode. You know, because they still, you know, Hollywood right now, they're still figuring out the guidelines of how to go back to work, and they just haven't figured out yet. Yeah, so let's grade the episode. Rich, what's your grade?
This one is actually, I'll give it a B plus.
Yeah, I'm going to give this an A. I really liked it. Raymond?
Yeah, I give it an A also.
Wow, I'm low.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's get to the next thing we're going to look at, and it's the Amazon comedy series Upload.
His vitals are dropping. We're losing him.
Do we really want to upload?
We could be together forever.
You're so amazing. But forever is just like so long.
Upload's that way. OR's the other way. What do you want to do?
3, 2, 1. Upload. Hello, Nathan. 10 fingers and toes?
Pretty seamless.
This is the first day of the rest of your afterlife.
You may find yourself living in a beautiful house.
Cool.
Welcome to Lakeview. Uplifting views, timeless Americana.
Yes. It's 10 a.m. Breakfast is over.
No! It's not even real food!
New guy coming through.
I'm not even supposed to be here.
Nobody feels like they should be here. You think I wanted to fall into the Grand Canyon?
That's how you died?
They should expect people to try and break the glass floor.
I saw that video. You dabbed on the way down.
That's how you get the likes.
All right, so Rich, who created this show?
Greg Daniels, the guy who did Parks and Rec and a little bit of The Office and a couple other things.
And this stars Robbie Amell, who's from, I guess he's, what's the biggest thing he's done? X-Files, I guess that's the thing.
He's probably best known for your favorite movie, Duff.
That's right. I love the Duff. Yes, that's right. He was in The Flash for a couple episodes.
Right. And he also starred in Tomorrow People. That's right.
Tomorrow People, yes. And he has a famous cousin. Who's his?
Yeah.
Who's his cousin, Rich?
Stephen Amell, the Arrow.
The actor who plays the Arrow. And he is, what's the character's name that he plays?
Nathan Brown.
And he's basically he's a 20-something tech guy who...
I think he's actually 30s.
Was he a 30-something tech guy? He gets in a car accident and he has to choose, does he... upload his...
Well, let's just say this is in the future. I mean, this is
the
future. Yeah, this is technology is everywhere.
Well, not just. I mean, it's already it's set in the world where people could upload their existence or their consciousness into a digital heaven. Nathan is a kind of a upstart tech guy who gets in a car accident and he has a choice. Does he upload his consciousness into a digital heaven that belongs to his girlfriend.
His fiance.
Or does he die? That's basically the choice. Does he die in this car accident or does he upload his existence into this digital heaven that was reserved by his girlfriend?
Yeah, it's similar to that one NBC show that you watch with the, what's her name? The Kristen
Good,
Bell?
The Good Place.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little similar to that, but with tech. I mean, a lot more tech.
Yeah. And actually, the whole first season reminded me of The Good Place. Although I think The Good Place more leans into a kind of sitcom type of comedy. Upload here is more kind of a sweet love story. This is kind of like a romantic.
No, this has a lot of comedy in it, but it's good. It's really good.
But I wouldn't say that it leans into sitcom.
It's not sitcom comedy. It's more like HBO comedy.
Yeah, there's some characters that may feel like they're coming from a sitcom, but a lot of it comes with each episode. It comes around to this sweet love story between Robbie Amell and this really fantastic actress who
Andy Ayo, I guess it is. Or Allo,
and she plays
Nora.
Nora, and she is like kind of the personal assistant or
his angel in the end.
Yeah, what would you call her
on the afterlife?
She's like customer service.
Right. Yes, and she is a really great find. I thought she did a terrific job in here. Apparently, she's a singer and she's an actress too. But this is kind of one of her first big shows, and she does a really good job. I always liked Robbie Amell.
He's a much better actor than his cousin.
Yeah, and I, you know, like you mentioned earlier, I'm a big fan of the Duff, and he was the main guy in there with that one girl, Mae Whitman. But again, this is a really a sweet love story set in this future where I found it very relatable. Relatable because it's, the vision of the future feels like, kind of feels like what we're going through right now through quarantine. You know, everyone's kind of locked behind a computer monitor. You know, we're all communicating through you know, some kind of device. Raymond, what's your thoughts of Upload?
I really like the series. I thought it was I thought the show though was a bit of a interesting ride, because I thought the first two episodes were actually kind of dark. It almost, to me, the first two episodes kind of reminded me a bit more of a lighter Black Mirror or something like that. And then as the show progressed, it kind of got a bit more like a bit more comedic, a bit more like a comedy. Once I guess once Robbie Amell's character starts to kind of get used to being in this uploaded afterlife, because in the first two episodes or early on when his character's kind of you know. Frustrated by all this, it I don't know, it had a dark vibe to it. And also the love story in this show also kind of had a little Black Mirror vibe to me, or also it had also reminded me a little bit of the Spike Jonze movie Her.
I was thinking the same thing that it has the future in here reminds me a lot like like Her, because the future doesn't seem too far away. The future in this series feels like it could happen within the next decade. You know, it's an interesting idea.
And the way they execute it, there's a lot of authenticity. Like, they really think of everything. Like, again, like the Nora character. I mean, she's basically a customer service rep or whatever. And Nathan actually has multiple angels in the show, multiple customer service agents that that work during certain times of the day, because, you know, No one's going to be up 24 hours doing this job. So I like the idea. They put a lot of thought into every single detail in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
To make it all feel like a very believable future.
Rich, what's your thoughts of Upload? It's a really good show. It's great characters, good story, and it's even directed well. And I was really surprised because I'm not a Parks and Rec fan or Office fan. I never got into them, but this, you know, it's only 10 episodes, and it's mostly a half hour episodes, and they went by quick, and I can't wait for season 2.
And it ended in a like kind of a perfect way to end the season.
And even the other characters in it, Nora's friend, Alicia. I mean, she's the other tech girl. I mean, she, and also Nathan's new friend, Luke, played by Kevin Bigley, I guess it is.
He's reminded me a lot of Kurt Russell.
They're very funny. Both of them. Funny.
Both of them. Yeah. Both of them are great.
Everyone's the cast. Like I said, the cast is amazing. The cast is very, very good here. And the jokes, I would say the jokes is not overly outlandish, or
some of them are, but I didn't. But they earned it. I mean, like there's one character. There's one episode where with a little boy.
Oh right, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't really want to give away too much, but you know, it's basically an adult man trapped in a body of a little boy, and he goes through a whole process to try to become an adult, and it's a very comedic episode.
Yeah. And we should mention that this has nudity. It does have, it's not graphic, it has nudity.
It's an R-rated show though.
Yeah, it's
that's true.
It's it has some profanity, but it really has that sensibility of a network comedy. And like I said, this reminded me of something like The Good Place, which I thought season one of The Good Place was fantastic. This reminded me of that. But
the comedy here to me felt a bit more like Silicon Valley. So I would say it's almost like The Good Place, but with like, I guess like if The Good Place was on HBO.
it does have like a satirical look at the future of what could be. They're making this kind of satirical comment on tech and how we're kind of obsessed with life after death, and how
I mean, there's a lot of like social commentary and dark comedy.
Yeah, it's a much deeper show than you would think, and it does deal with some really great existential questions. You know, these like kind of deep thoughts issues that it's done very intelligently, I thought.
Also, like being in a relationship with someone that like passed away, and like they kind of deal with all that stuff. It's interesting, but also one thing that really worked for me in the show is I mentioned earlier there's a character in this series that's a grown man and stuck in the body of a child, but something that was interesting is when he got uploaded, you know, his parents uploaded him and made him look, you know, the way he did when he died as a little boy, and he always tries to communicate with his friends and get in touch with everyone, and everyone's kind of just moved on,
yeah,
because everyone's an adult and he's just this little boy, and it's really sad. But it's kind of deep. I mean, and there's a lot of stuff like that throughout the whole series.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, so it's a really I found this a really entertaining series,
and also the finale episode was directed by Dana Reed, who's best known for probably directing some Handmaid's Tale, but also best known to me for directing Never Tear Us Apart, The INXS Story. And it was also produced by Mike Lawrence, the stand-up comedian on that finale
episode. Oh, really?
Yeah, that was his. When I saw his name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so, produced or did he write some?
He has producing credit.
Oh, he must write some stuff.
Yeah, he wrote a couple episodes.
Did he write?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
he's a great stand-up comedian, Mike Lawrence.
He's got some roast talent.
Yeah, yeah. So I found this very, you know, at the core of this series is a very sweet love story between these two. One guy who is dead and a girl who's living. And I thought that was a very interesting idea. And again, Andy Allo or Allo?
Oh, it's A-L-L-O, so it's A-O or Allo, yeah.
Is really a great, great find. I found her really terrific in this role. And Robbie Amell, again, I'm a big fan of his. So I give this an A-. What grade would you give this, Rich?
Definitely an A. I'm not sure if it's A-, though, but... You know what? I'll give it an A. It's perfect for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing wrong with it. I mean, for me to stick with a series nowadays, it says a lot.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to season two.
Yeah.
How many shows that you see the first season and like, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. Let's move on. Yeah. But not this show. Yeah. This show,
this one I was riveted. To watch it all in like 2 or 3 days, a lot.
All right, Raymond, what's your grade?
When I was watching the series, I was originally thinking I was probably going to give the show a B, but the final two episodes really came together perfectly for me, and I'm going to go A-. Wow. I think it's a great series, and I really I've been a fan of Greg Daniels ever since I was a little kid. I mean, he co-created King of the Hill with Mike Judge, and I've always loved all the work he's done. You know, The Office. You know, he worked on The Simpsons and SNL in the 90s, and I'm so happy to see him do something that's not network TV, and you really get to see him unleashed. And this is great work. This is great stuff.
Raymond was the one who recommended us to see it, and I'm glad you did, because this was a really cool show to watch during this quarantine stuff. Again, just to recap, me and Raymond give this an A-, and Richard says, no, this is an A. Watch it now. It's on Amazon Prime Video, and so if you got Amazon, check it out. Okay, let's finish things off with Hulu's new animated sci-fi comedy series, Solar Opposites.
Oh my God, we don't have noses!
This May, from Justin Roiland, the co-creator of Rick and Morty.
We're from outer space. You're the one who chose to land here.
My scans didn't indicate it was a human-infested crap hole without a single redeeming value, Terry.
Comes a series about a family trying to fit in on a strange new world.
Wait, we can't park here. There's street cleaning tomorrow.
Man caves.
What's Diggle Bix?
I don't know. Some sort of human code.
Recreational drugs.
By the way, I got some heroin. You guys want to do heroin?
Bullying.
Go back to Uranus.
Animal rights. Zombie teenagers. Magicians. Black holes. Gooblers and the pupa.
Look at the pupa. I told you to stop giving the pupa candy. He can't eat candy. It gets him sick.
Oh, sick!
Solar opposites.
Now let's get out of here before we get arrested for all this shit.
This is the Hulu's new raunchy, gory, profanity-filled animated comedy series from the creators, or from the co-creator of Rick and Morty. This is about a team of space aliens who crash land on Earth, and they're kind of unlikable space aliens, and they try to fit in society as a ordinary suburban family, and they're kind of just goofy and mean and crazy.
So is it like the Coneheads or something?
It's basically it's Third Rock from the Sun mixed with Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically.
Yeah. I would say this is a nice blend of because Richard, you hadn't seen this. It's just me and Raymond. We watched the first season, which is currently streaming now on Hulu, and I found it to be like a nice blend of The Simpsons and The Family Guy. Like it has like the comedic story structure of The Simpsons, but a lot of the gags and a lot of the pop culture references is what you will find on Family Guy. And the first season is only 8 episodes long, and I think that's the perfect length for something like this. If any longer, I think I would have lost interest. But I really enjoyed the cartoon. I really enjoyed this comedy series, animated comedy series. I found it very funny. What's your thoughts, Raymond?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm a big fan of Rick and Morty, and a big part of the reason why I'm a big fan of Rick and Morty is just Justin Roiland just makes me laugh, and when he does his voices, and he's basically just doing Rick again as Corvo.
Oh yes,
Corvo's mm-hmm. basically just Rick minus the burping. And I don't know, Justin Roiland just cracks me up, and I enjoyed the hell out of the series. This is probably the first time since Silicon Valley that I've enjoyed Thomas Middleditch in something.
Yes, he's the second lead in this. You know, actually, the whole voice cast is excellent because I like the Goldberg's kid here, the Sean.
Yeah, he's great.
Jaboni, he plays Lumilac, and I thought his voice. And I haven't watched the Goldbergs. I don't really know Sean Jaboni that much, but or is it Jaboni?
It looks like Giambroni.
So I don't know Sean Giambroni that much, but his voice is so great in this series, and he's playing off this stand-up comedian Mary Mack as Jesse the alien.
She's fantastic.
She is fantastic. They're playing like brothers and sisters. They're basically brother and sister, and she is phenomenal. Her voice is fantastic. She is funny as hell, and there are like kind of like there. I think they outshine Thomas Middleditch and Justin Roiland in a lot of ways, because their parts are very hilarious together. They're great together, and I love this bit where there's a bit where we go into see what happens. Lumilac, which is the like teen or the kid alien, right? He has a tendency to steal humans and shrink them with his shrink ray and puts them in his kind of like aquarium, and
it's kind of like a gerbil box,
yeah, display in his room.
I forget what they're called.
So it's like, yeah, so it's this
a hamster cage.
So at a certain point in this season, we get into this dystopian spoof where we see all these shrieks kidnap humans, fight off each other in this kind of dystopian Planet of the Apes type of way. I thought that was hilarious. That brought the whole series into a next level.
Me personally, though, I would have preferred if that was more of a subplot, because there is one episode that's all that.
Yeah, there.
And
yeah.
I liked it more. I liked it a bit more when it was just a subplot throughout the series or throughout every episode.
I liked it. To me, that feels like the Simpsons. You know, that feels like the influence of the Simpsons. I haven't seen Rick and Morty. How does this compare, Raymond?
Okay, that's a good question. Rick and Morty's much more sci-fi. This is much more, I would say, like a sitcom. Like you're comparing it to The Simpsons. I think it's like Third Rock from the Sun. It's definitely more like a sitcom. Mm-hmm. And Rick and Morty, it definitely has a little bit of a sitcom element because there's a family, but it's really just a wild sci-fi show. I would say it's maybe like Doctor Who.
Oh,
Rick and Morty has like some Doctor Who vibes, and Rick and Morty is also much more meta than this show. I mean, I think that's a big part because of Dan Harmon. I mean, Dan Harmon, he's a very meta guy. If you've seen a Community, I mean, that he brings that to Rick and Morty, and that's one of the things that show has that this show doesn't.
Originally, Solar Opposites was supposed to be for Fox. It was supposed to air on Fox, but Hulu picked up the series. But don't get me wrong, Solar Opposites is very gory. It has a lot of profanity.
Well, that tells you why Fox dropped it, because it's.
But, I mean, Disney. Family Guy's pretty out there though, right? Oh yeah,
Disney picked it. Disney bought it.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, that makes sense. So it's you know, there's a lot of sex jokes. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of like raunchy humor here, and it's funny. It's just funny. It's a great kind of sci-fi comedy thing with great, like I said, great voice actors. I think if these voice actors really elevate the material, and and again, Justin Roiland is a guy from way back when he did Channel 101, which was a comedy project. It was more of a Community back in the, I don't know, early 2000s, and this is before YouTube, where they did a whole bunch of skits and they would put it on internet and people would vote. And like one of the first things I've seen from Justin Roiland was this animation bit where he did the house. It was called The House of Cosby's.
Oh yeah,
it was a bunch of clones of Bill Cosby, and it was so hilarious. And it had these sci-fi elements. So you could see the beginnings of Rick and Morty or Solar Opposites. It got so popular that Bill Cosby himself sued them to take it down. They had to take it down, and it was you know.
And now his shows are finally blowing up. Now he's doing that stuff for Adult Swim and Hulu. Who would have thought, right?
Yeah, and again, I like you were saying, Justin Roiland's voice. He has a really kind of a unique comedic voice here, and I'm not saying writing wise, although his writing wise does have a unique brand, but his voice as an actor, it's funny. It's hilarious. It's a uniquely funny comic timing that he has that I don't see with other voice actors. It's just really great.
Oh yeah, Justin Roiland, man, he just has a way of making things funny that I don't think anybody can. Like, there's this one episode, I think it was the third episode, where he becomes a magician, and just like every time he said ta-da, it would have me on the floor in laughter. Nobody could say something like that and make you laugh. But I mean, him in his character kills me.
Yeah.
He killed me every time.
Yeah. So this is a great funny little thing you could check out on Hulu. If you like Rick and Morty, you like The Simpsons, if you like Family Guy, I think you would probably like Solar Opposites. I give this a B-. Raymond.
Yeah, I give it a B.
Okay. Yeah. So that was Solar Opposites, and I give it a B-. Raymond gives it a B. We recommend it. Check it out. It's on Hulu right now. Raymond, how do you listen to podcasts? Is there a specific site do you go to?
iTunes.
You go to iTunes. Rich, what site do you go to listen to your podcasts?
Oh, probably I go to their website, their main website.
And Rich, if you're like me, you love podcasts, how can you find Inside Flicks, Rich?
If I was like you,
yes,
I would probably just go on Google and search Inside Flicks, one word, and you'll get all our links there.
All right. And we're on what? iTunes. We're on Stitcher.
We're on Apple iTunes. We're on Google Podcasts. We're also on iHeartRadio and Spotify. You can find all our links on InsideFlicks.com.
Thank you for listening to Inside Flicks. It has been fun. We'll be back with another episode really soon. Thank you for listening. This is Inside Flicks. Bye-bye.